We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is good to have you listening and hanging out with us live here at Hooters Mall of Georgia location. As we get into the 5 o'clock hour, we'll recap some of the things we saw today, some of the players we spoke to, including our conversation with Michael Penix coming up here in less than 10 minutes. So stay tuned for that. Day one was about injury update. It was who's here. Braylon Trice is ready. Okay, he is available, and Mike working his way back. We talked about Troy Anderson, who's starting on the PUP list, which is a little bit of a surprise. But as far as Kyle Pitts, he was 100%. He looked it today, and he was ready to go. Also, we didn't bring up Morgan Fox, Mike, who we didn't see at OTAs or mandatory minicamp. He was there today. DeMarco Helms is available. So this is where the Falcons are, fairly healthy heading into camp as guys continue to work their way back. But the Troy Anderson thing is interesting, which we'll talk about in a minute here. But as we spoke to and saw a variety of players today, Caleb McGarry asked about protecting the blind side, and Raheem Moore said, look, it's not the blind side anymore. You're in shotgun a lot. You're moving the pocket. You got to think about this in a different way. Traditionally, he's not dropping back every time, and Caleb McGarry is responsible for protecting Michael Penix's blind side. James Pierce Jr. spoke to the media today. Mike mentioned his ability, it feels like he's getting more comfortable with the media.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier, and we talked off the air, and there was a media scrum with James Pierce Jr., and I talked about all the things that his teammate Bryson Easton had to say, kind of got a smile on his face, and his time at Tennessee about what a dog he was and a leader and the kind of way he approached practice. And we talked about this earlier. He really did bring some heat. You brought this up in practice, basically calling out, I think it was Storm Norton.
Yep.
You know,
for
saying, hey, man, if we're going to go, let's do this. Let's work. So he was bringing some serious, you know, practice and work ethic to practice, which was great to see because, as we said, the things that were said about him, I think we can now describe as were erroneous. Somehow, somewhere, something got traction about him not having a work ethic or not being a good teammate. Nothing of that from what we've seen, especially, you know, from minicamp to today. The guy's here to work. He's here to become the best player he can be.
Jalen Walker also speaking to the media today, and he said, look, I'm here to put in the work. I'm not here to predict what I'm going to be or tell you guys how many sacks I'm going to get. I just, you know, and the plan, by the way, for Jalen Walker is to start at edge, and they're going to want him to master that, and then they're going to move him around, all right? We continue to say, oh, could he be on Micah Parsons? He can, but they want him to learn this first and then really good at that. And then also Jesse Bates, Mike, the savvy vet, speaking to the media today as well, and Jesse just speaking high praise of Michael Penix and all the things that he's seen leading up to the start of camp. As far as Michael Penix, he looked good today.
Yeah, man. There was a couple of throws where, you know, he was behind on the deep ball where we saw some, I think it was one where Darnell Mooney or was it Ray McCloud went up to try to make that play.
Mooney.
But, yeah, I mean, the timing, it always seems like the advantage goes to the defense early in the week. We mentioned it last hour, if you missed it. The guys were asking, what'd you think, what'd you like? And I got to be honest, Bijan, we could basically say that every practice we watch. You said it earlier, how good Bijan looks, making the cuts, making guys miss. Now, again, this isn't, you know, full contact, but they are in helmets. And there was some effort today. So some serious effort from some of the guys on defense, like Zach Harrison. That's one of the things that kind of popped for me today was a guy that, you know, I don't know what your expectation level is. What is year three now for him out of the third round? You know, a big body. And you've always said you felt he's better cast being in the defensive tackle role.
Inside, him and Taquan Graham, both of them, I think, can help us down there. When you're talking about a rotation of Onyemata, Rook, and you add those guys to the mix, it adds more size. And, Mike, I think it makes us better. When I just look at these edge guys and the guys on the end, Pierce and Jalen and, you know, we're not even talking about some of the other guys. I mean, we're not even mentioning. It's
and Leonard
funny.
Floyd looks fine, by the way. Oh, Leonard Floyd looks good to go.
He's fine, but we're not even mentioning Arnold Ebiketie over the last few years coming into camp where we'd be like, he's got to have more sacks. That pressure's off Arnold. It is because of the guys now that he's playing with. He doesn't have to have 15 sacks to have a successful season. He's got to be a part of it, but that's what's really changed. But I think that interior looks really good. By the way, everybody, full participation, guys. We didn't have anybody. There are no holdouts. There's none of that stuff going on with the Falcons.
We did have another guy that has come up on, we talk about every year since he got drafted. It was a reach when we drafted him. He does give you teases, gives you tastes of, like that Saints game with the pick six. I'm talking about Troy Anderson.
Pup
list to start the season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and now he's looking up at guys on the depth chart. So I said this to you earlier in the show, and this has nothing to do with Terry Fontenot. This was one of his, but Thomas Dimitrov had a bunch. We've had too many second-round misfires on this team.
Well, if he's
I hope that's not going to be the case, but he doesn't look like he's going to be ready to go anytime soon.
If he's unable to perform, I think he's playing for a roster spot. That's just where it's at. When you get better talent, nobody is owed anything. And if you've got guys that are outplaying him and he's unable to perform the way he should, the bottom line is he might be out of a roster spot. So we're going to find out. But, yes.
But didn't you kind of like me, your eyes kind of rolled over when you saw that today?
Yeah, because I think it was unexpected. He had all offseason to deal with this injury, and you felt like, okay, he's probably doing the right things. There's two things that happen, and this is speculation. I don't know this, so I don't want you to run with it.
Right.
Either this injury is more than what they told us, Mike, and he's not gotten right from it, or the fact is that he didn't do the rehab he needed to do the way he needed to do it to get right. And I don't know which one it is, but we've had months of him having the time and availability to work with everybody he needs to get right. And now camp starts, and you're telling me he's starting on the pup list?
Yeah.
It's just a little suspicious, but maybe he comes off the pup list, Mike, but he's going to have to earn his keep.
But again, as you said, Troy Anderson's looking up at other players now. Now, all of a sudden, there's guys that might be better at that job than you. And don't forget, we brought Divine Diablo in, probably as an insurance policy.
Diablo.
Divine Diablo. By the way, couldn't you see that, though? Right now at Magic City, Divine Diablo on the main stage. Sorry, back up. Cam Newton Jr.'s kid just heard that. Don't mind. Magic City, it's a place where people have tickle fights. Don't listen to us. But you're getting back.
He's like, my dad took me already. My dad and I were there 2 weeks ago.
Oh, is your father, does he work for the Players Association? But anyway, but getting back to the things at practice, we mentioned Kyle Pitts, and it was funny. The first thing that we hear, we spoke with, you'll hear the Michael Penix Jr. conversation next segment, but when he started the big media scrum, first thing he says is, hey, man, we got the ball in KP's hands. So it sounds like Kyle Pitts, for all the things we've said about him, you've said about him, pro and con, he has an advocate in Michael Penix Jr. But then bring in the flip side. When Kyle Pitts does the media scrum himself, where we're in front of all the mics, he's asked the first question, what was the nature of that foot injury that kept you out of minicamp?
And he didn't answer it. And it's almost as if he is not going to give anybody an edge on what the injury was or what he was dealing with. Part of this
is... What is this, a military secret? You had a foot injury, you got over. You had treatment.
I get it. But if Mike, here's the problem. If he tells you, not just you, just us generally speaking, then as soon as something happens, guess what's going to happen? You're going to immediately go, oh, it's the foot. It's the ankle. He's not going to give us an opportunity to let us know what exactly the injury was because he doesn't want a way out. He's trying to earn, speaking about earning his keep, he wants to say, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm going to play. And if anything starts to go bad, it doesn't give him an excuse to say, well, it must be that injury he's been dealing with for, I don't know, the last six months.
Well, I mean, he comes in loose. We talked about, showing up at camp loosey-goosey, and he was definitely loose in front of the mic. I mean, he's much more comfortable than he's ever been.
I agree.
So maybe, as I said to you yesterday's show, maybe it's like, blanket, let it all hang out. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down swinging. I'm going to be loose and have some confidence. But I did get a chuckle. Well, you and I both looked at each other. We're like, second, the follow-up question from somebody from, I think it was Channel 2, asked about the foot. He goes, hey man, I don't talk to the trainers. I'm like, well, it's your body, dude. I mean, I understand your explanation of it, but still, it's just, there are no excuses. But one thing for certain, the players have heard this talk. Certainly that offensive side of the football has heard about the Kyle Pitts stuff because Penix Jr. was backing him up all day today, if he can execute and get the job done.
This is where I think, and I don't even know if it's a miscalculation. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, hanging out at Hooters Mall of Georgia. Guys, you'll hear our interview with Michael Penix coming up here in less than about 5 minutes from now. The thing about Pitts, what I sense now, Mike, is he's having fun. I don't think he had fun the last couple of seasons. One, you go back 2 seasons ago, he was hurt.
Right.
And all you heard was what he could be, but he couldn't do it because he was injured. You come into last year, he's supposed to be better because he's got a better quarterback in Kirk Cousins.
Right.
But it really doesn't pan out that way. And then, he's hearing all of this criticism. And what I believe has happened, could be completely wrong about this, but I doubt it, is that Michael Penix Jr. has instilled confidence in him in a way that makes him feel like I'm comfortable and I got a guy that wants to see me succeed and is going to get me the ball. And you know what? I'm having fun. He showed up when they got together. And you'll hear Michael Penix talk about them talking about the receiving group and Penix throwing the ball around to his guys and they got together. I'm not saying that Kyle Pitts hasn't participated in that stuff before, but I feel like that's what we're talking about here. If a kid has fun, Mike, he's going to be a beast. But I don't think that's been the case the last few years. It's been all this pressure
right
on his back.
And that's why I said yesterday, maybe he's just coming in with this sort of when I say loosey-goosey, that's not a bad thing. But just come in with a degree of, you said, confidence.
It feels that
way. Because, look.
I hope so.
One way or the other, I don't think Kyle Pitts plays another season with
the
Falcons.
You're ready to run him out already, huh?
No, because there's no money. They're not going to have enough money. If he balls out, his agent's going to demand big-time top five tight end money.
Don't say that.
Could reset the position. We got to pay Bijan. We got to pay Drake.
Yeah.
I'm just. We're already 2 years into Penix. So I'm just saying, there's not going to be, just like what the Cowboys and Bengals are going through, we're going to be to a lesser extent in that same boat.
Well, look, I'm not going to go that route yet because, one, it's so far away.
I mean, you could hypothetically franchise tag him, but as you guys know, that's the average of the top five paid position.
Yeah, it's so far away. Look, if it's a fair deal, I would not foresee him not coming back if he performs at a high level. But, look, the NFL, you see the cap going up every year. That's why I don't talk about it. I don't care about it. Everybody that needs to get paid gets paid.
But if you give me two out of 5 years, you ball out, I'm not giving you a $75 million plus contract.
That's different than not paying him. You're saying he hasn't performed for the length of the year time he's been here. That doesn't mean they won't pay him or they won't have it. And that's where I'm going to disagree. I feel like if he performs, let's say he gets 1,000 yards, and I don't know, what's the touchdown number? 8 to 10 touchdowns?
8 to 10 would be a nice round number.
Then that's going to command a certain number. And if it's a fair deal, I don't think the Falcons will frown at it. And I think we also forget, and this is me defending him, as much as I banged on Kyle Pitts, he is a young dude. We drafted him. He was 20 years old. That is rare in the NFL. Michael Penix is 26, guys.
Right. But we drafted this guy again. He was supposed to be a unicorn. He's not. That's not what he is.
But you're saying they're not going to pay him, and I think we're so far away from that. Like, I want to give him a shot. I did it last year. He didn't get it done. Let's see what happens. If he doesn't get it done this year, then that's an easy conversation to say they're not going to pay him. But if he does, I'm not going to sit here and tell guys that they won't have the money to pay him. Anybody that they want to pay, they can pay.
Meanwhile, as we said, the practice wraps up. The first thing you hear from Michael Penix Jr. in front of the large media room is, see, we got KP the ball. Going to be a lot of that, talking about Kyle Pitts. We'll see. But I'm just saying, if I'm a general manager, you give me 2 years out of five, you're not getting a contract from me. Okay. You know, I'll let you go get signed by somebody else, and I'll take a compensatory pick, and we'll get back to work because you were a bust.
We'll see how it plays out. I just find it fascinating. After day one, you're like, he won't be here next year.
I'm saying regardless of what he does, because there's just, I don't know. Yes, the money does go up, but we're going to be paying Drake London north of what Garrett Wilson got.
Okay.
Bijan Robinson, that's going to be a big number because he's a big part of what we do. And the good news is we've got a window now to win while a quarterback's on his rookie deal, and we believe we've got some real impact defenders on their rookie contracts. So that's the big picture. That's how Seattle was able to do what they did. Other teams, there's many teams out there that have a hard time making that all fit. That's why the Cowboys are never in the Super Bowl. That's why, you know, Belichick was able to do his thing. The Chiefs do their thing.
It's valid.
Howie Roseman does it with the Eagles right now. He had to make some hard decisions this offseason to move on some guys, but he had the next group of guys coming up.
Yeah, no, it's valid. And look, that's why every team has a tough time sustaining success.
Right.
You can get there, but it's sustaining success. But I'm going to wait to have that, whether they'll pay him or not. He's got to prove that he deserves to be paid.
And look,
and I don't even think that he's done that yet.
And look, guys, we say this all the time. We're all pulling for this guy. It'll be a great problem to have in this offseason.
It will be.
You know, if we're talking in February, March about how the Falcons approach this, you know, because Kyle Pitts is 1,000-yard, goes back to being a 1,000-yard receiver, has 10 touchdowns, became this red zone weapon where he's a Pro Bowler again, but more importantly, he's winning you football games like the game he won you in Tampa. You know, where he's a difference maker, the big tough catch he made against the Commanders in a game we should have won late in the season. That's why it's so frustrating. We know what he's capable of. Can you do it on a consistent basis?
All right, coming up, you'll hear our interview with Michael Penix Jr. We talked with the quarterback today at day one of training camp, and we try to get into his mindset a little bit about how he feels, where he's at, and talk about his teammates. Stay there. You'll hear it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah.